Day after day he loves me,
day and
day after day he
day by day he
day after day he
graciously supplies my needs, all my needs. Day after day he guards me,
day by day
never have a fear. Day after day he tells me he is always near.
What though the path be thorny? What though the way be long?
What though the sky be black? He fills my life with song.
Day after day he
guards me, day by day.
Day after day he tells me he is always near. What though the path be thorny? What though the way be long? What though the sky be black? He fills my life with song. Song, song, song.
Day after day he loves me,
day
and day after day he leads
me.
Day after day he graciously supplies my needs. Day after day he loves me.
Man, the Lord must be trying to get my attention about that subject, because Ed Bragg texted early this morning, he's out preaching somewhere, that verse in Jeremiah that talks about God loving us with an everlasting love. Everlasting love, day after day. Thank you. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. So that's the first book in your Bible, chapter 49 this morning. Find that last, next to last chapter there in the book of Genesis. Genesis 49, I'll give you a moment to find it, and then we'll read a few verses and get into the message this morning, a subject that I want to talk to you about for a little bit here. Genesis 49, if you found the scripture, let's stand together in honor of God's word, and we're going to be in it. Let's read the first two verses, follow along. Verses 1 and 2, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. Now drop down to verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a wall, by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, my ancestors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. From these verses today, I want to speak to you on the subject of overcoming. Overcoming. Father, I pray that you'll please be with me today. Help my mind to think clearly. Guide my tongue, my words. More importantly, Holy Spirit of God, would you deliver the truth? I want to do the best I can physically, but that's not enough. If the Holy Spirit, if you don't come and work in the hearts of people this morning, all is vain. And so I give myself to you, and I pray that you'll fill us all, both speaker and listener, with your power, your fullness, There's a reason why we're here today. And there's a reason why we're in this passage. So help us to learn from it what we're supposed to learn. Bless our time in your book, your blessed book, the magnified word, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. Some years ago, at a Providence commencement exercise, a graduating senior gave a speech. That happens every year. This particular year, this young man had won an award that allowed him the privilege of speaking at the commencement. And in that speech, he made a statement that has stuck with me. He was challenging his graduating classmates to go on and, you know, you got your degree now, go on and serve God and use your life for Christ and serve him no matter the cost. And he said this, and this is pretty much word for word. He said, in the Bible, you will not find the word cope, but you do find the word overcome. And then he went on to remind those young adults that God had made them overcomers through Christ Jesus. And he was right, because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, folks, if you're saved, you had to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You cannot be saved without believing that. You cannot be. So you have to believe that. So what these verses are telling us, if you're born again Christian, if you're born again child of God, you are an overcomer through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Joseph was an overcomer. There's no doubt about that. We're told that he overcame. He enjoyed blessings beyond what others enjoyed. Joseph did not cope with the setbacks of his life, allowing them to destroy his fruitfulness. He did not live with the dismal circumstances of his life robbing him of making an impact during his time on earth. Instead, he overcame and he made a difference. And what a challenge for you and for me. Now, in this chapter, as we read at the beginning, Jacob has called his 12 sons together in order to speak his last words to them. It's a prophetical chapter as Jacob tells each boy what they can expect, not only as men individually, but what their families and what their tribes can expect in the days and, more importantly, in the years ahead. These 12 men, these 12 sons of Jacob, were well known in their day, but their descendants would become even more well known as each tribe grew in number. Those 12 sons of Jacob, they grew in number. Now you get to verse number 22, and Jacob begins to speak to his next to last born son. Joseph was number 11, Benjamin 12. So he speaks to his next to last born son, Joseph, and he begins to address Joseph, and he speaks in the present and the past and the future tense, all three. Present, past, and future. And I want to show you some valuable truths about what Jacob said to Joseph and about him, okay? First of all, I want you to notice his present condition. Look at verse number 22. We read it there just a moment ago. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. So Joseph's present condition was one of fruitfulness. And Jacob refers to Joseph as a fruitful bough, a vine, a fruitful vine planted by a well. And that vine is growing. It's not just idle, it's growing. And the branches of that vine have spilled over the wall, meaning that his fruitfulness was abounding. And at that time, Joseph was second in command in the land of Egypt. He was in charge over everything. The only one greater in power at this time in the land of Egypt than Joseph was the Pharaoh. Joseph had a wife. He had two sons. He was the architect of a plan to keep the Egyptians from starving to death in a terrible time of drought and famine. And you know this, if you read the story, eventually his plan also benefited his own Hebrew family as his brothers came to Egypt to buy corn. And through that, God had worked not only to reunite Joseph with his dad and his family, but more importantly, God had used Joseph, listen now, to save the Hebrew people from extinction. And don't forget, it was our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who came through the Hebrew line. So he had really worked through Joseph. Joseph had overcome. He was an overcomer. And as we'll see in just a moment, his present condition of being fruitful was a miracle, considering what he had endured and what he had overcome. He was indeed an overcomer who didn't just cope with what he was handed, but he overcame and he went on to enjoy an abundance of fruitfulness. I think of people I know who are like Joseph, people who have been handed some difficult and at times even nasty circumstances and haven't settled just coping with those circumstances, but have overcome them. Amen. I think of our friend who preaches here just about every year, Dan Martin. I think last year he came when Joyce and I were in Madagascar. And he gave his testimony here one time about growing up with his mom and his stepfather. And how he saw his stepfather put a knife, it might have been his dad, I forget, put a knife to his mother's throat in a drunken rage. In the kitchen, and Dan had to intervene and all kinds of crazy things going on. And not just Dan Martin, but others. Folks, there are people sitting in this room this morning who have endured similar circumstances. You don't always know, do you? Sometimes I'm a little more privy to some of that information because I've had personal conversations with members that maybe you haven't had. Well, there's people sitting here this morning who've had to overcome some pretty nasty circumstances, some very difficult situations they didn't just cope with what they'd been handed, they overcame them. In many cases, the difficulties were not of their own making. They were secondhand, meaning they were the result of others' poor choices. And it's very encouraging to know that it is possible, if you let me say it this way, to rise out of the ashes of difficulty, to overcome and go on to a life of fruitfulness. That's what God wants for everybody. Fruitfulness not only that encompasses you, but goes on to spill over to others around you, to others who follow in your wake, if you will. So Joseph's present condition was one of fruitfulness. And God desires that for every one of us in this room today. Now, number two, and I want to spend a little bit more time on this one. Number two, I want you to see his past situation. So Jacob talks first of all about Joseph presently, and then he starts talking about Joseph's past. In verse 23, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Jacob declares that in the past, Joseph was the target of those who wanted to destroy him. Jacob said, it's like archers shot at Jacob, at Joseph, okay? Now, we know that they didn't literally shoot Joseph. Jacob is speaking symbolically here in these verses. They didn't literally shoot arrows at him, but the things that they did stuck in Joseph like an arrow. Stuck in him like an arrow. Now, there's some reasons that the archers shot at him. You remember Joseph's dad, Jacob, gave him that coat of many colors. That made his brothers jealous. And then, you know, then he had those dreams. And in those dreams, he was elevated above his brothers. And that made it even worse. But you think Joseph had that dream? He conjured that dream up himself? God gave him those dreams. And so they're jealous. And they, you know, they devised a plot to kill him. In fact, there was one point in time over in Genesis 37 where Joseph was with four of the boys, Gad, Asher, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Bible says they're involved in something evil. And Joseph brought that evil report to his dad. And so now they're mad about that. And then, you know, Reuben intervenes and spares his life. And then later his brothers sell him as a slave to merchant men. And once he gets down to Egypt, another archer shot at Joseph. This time it was Potiphar's wife who told that lie about him. Say, you tried to force me. Lied to her husband about Joseph. And then Joseph found himself in Pharaoh's prison. Lied about, left alone, and forsaken. Zip, 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 zip. He was shot at. What was Joseph to do? I mean, it's bad enough to be the object of a murder plot and then to be sold as chattel to merchant men who turned right around and sold him for a slave, no doubt for a profit. Then to be lied about, and especially the accusation that was made against. That's a horrible accusation. And nobody believed him, and nobody helped him. What did he do? I'll tell you what he did, folks. He kept fighting. Now, wait a minute. He didn't fight against those who had wronged him. He didn't fight his brothers. He didn't fight Potiphar's wife. He didn't fight those four boys that he told his dad. He didn't fight against them. He said, what did he fight? He fought against the temptation to just lay down and cope and die. He fought against the idea of just existing, just coping with the situation. Oh, Joseph, you know what, son? Hey, guess what? Talking to himself. Just cope with it. You can't do anything about it. Just accept the idea that you're going to spend the rest of your life in this stinking prison or you're going to come to an early death. Just accept it. But no, Joseph would not accept it. He fought against that mentality. How do we know that? Look at verse number 24 again. The archers shot at him in verse 23. They grieved him sorely. They hated him. But his bow abode in strength. He fought back, not against them. He fought against the temptation. He fought against the mentality to just cope. His brothers shot at him. Potiphar's wife had shot at him. What did they use to shoot those arrows? Well, they used a bow, symbolically. Well, guess what? Joseph had a bow as well. He had his own bow. And once again, he didn't shoot at his brothers or that evil woman. He shot at the temptation to just lay down and die. He shot at the temptation to give up. And how did he shoot at that? He stayed faithful to the Lord. Now, we're not going to go back and look at it, but I think most of you are familiar enough with the story to understand. At Potiphar's house, there's Joseph serving. Potiphar has a lot of servants. But this one, there's something different about that boy. There's something different about him. He doesn't just show up on time, he shows up early. And he puts in a day's work. And he goes the second mile. And I don't see any pouting. I don't see any, oh, woe is me attitude. I don't see any fallen countenance. This is what the Bible says, folks, in Genesis 39:3. And his master, Joseph's master, saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. There's something different about this boy. There was no pouting. There was no, oh, woe is me attitude. None of that. There was the attitude of, you know what, okay, this is what has been handed to me, but I refuse to allow this situation to define my life. The Lord is with me. While all this has happened, I don't understand, but I know God is in control, and I'm just going to stay faithful to the Lord, and I'm going to fight against the temptation to just lay down and die. And by the way, not only did he have that attitude at Potiphar's house, he had that same attitude in the prison. Because when he got there, the keeper of the prison made him the chief prisoner. Okay, no better way to put it. He was taking care of, given responsibility that the other prisoners didn't have. Now, do you see what we learn from this, folks? In a foreign land, hated and lied about, Joseph kept his eyes on God, and he kept fighting. He didn't lash out at those around him, make their life. This is what happens. People accept their circumstances in the sense of just coping with them and giving up, and their life becomes miserable because they get filled with hatred and bitterness, and they lash out at everybody around. That's not what happened to Joseph. Joseph's encouraging everybody around him. Joseph's picking up everybody around him. Joseph is helping up everybody around him, even those in prison, those other servants at Potiphar's house. He's a constant source of encouragement. He's a constant source of blessing to them. If Joseph had been like most of God's people, he would just have succumbed to the situation, just accepted it as his fate in life. I can't. Look at my situation. I can't move on from this. No. He symbolically picked up his bow and he fought against a defeated, morose mentality, and he was an overcomer. I like what Brother Razor said to our young people on, I think it was Thursday night. He said, you got to get tough. You got to get tough. And God's people just need to get tough. You don't have to accept what's been handed to you. And just cope with it in the sense of, I'll never get out of this. I'm going to live in this prison the rest of my life. No. Now, one key question about this is, folks, how did Joseph sustain energy to keep fighting? Because verse number 24 said, his bow abode in strength. How did he keep that? How did he maintain that spirit? How did he maintain that attitude? How did he maintain that encouragement? How did he maintain that attitude of, I'm not going to cope, I'm going to overcome? Brother Bragg, this is his weapon. Now, again, Joseph was not carrying a literal bow, okay? So it's symbolically he's carrying a bow, all right? And the Bible said that his bow abode in strength. That means every day at Potiphar's house, he's not moping. He's not pouting. He's not, oh, woe is me, every day. Every day he wakes up, he's still a slave. Every day he wakes up, he's still a servant. Every day he wakes up, his folks, his family, his brothers are far, far away. Every day. Then he goes to the prison. No pouting. No long face. No fallen countenance. No, oh, woe is me, every day in the prison. Every morning. Wakes up, encourages the other prisoners. Every day the Lord is with him. What's different about that? How did he maintain that? You know, you know what would happen to Brother Bragg if he was required to stand up here and day after day after day after day after day hold his bow up in strength? You know what eventually is going to happen to him? His arms are what? Going to get tired. You ever held your arms up in a certain position for a long period of time, you're working over your head, your arms get tired. But you know what that book says? That book says the reason he was able to hold his bow abode in strength, was because the hands of Almighty God strengthened his arm. I got you, Joseph. I got this, my friend. You just keep faithful. You just keep serving. You just keep your good spirit. You just keep your good attitude. And day after day, Joseph's arms were made strong by the mighty hands of God. That's exactly what verse number 24 says. Now you can put that down. We're not going to shoot anybody this morning, okay? We don't want, yeah. It was the hands of God. Here you go, brother. It was the hands of God that provided the strength for Joseph's arms to keep his bow in position. Now, people, listen. I don't care what you're handed. You don't have to succumb to it. You can be an overcomer. You're saved. You got it. You got everything necessary to be an overcomer. But it's going to take a little bit of fight. And not fighting against people, but fighting against the temptation to just lay down and die. And let fate, if you want to call it that, run its course. You want to hold your bow up in strength. Fight against that temptation, that mental temptation. And when your hands get tired holding your bow up, the hands of God are going to come and grab your arms and help you. Joseph was helped in the battle by the mighty hands of God. He was strengthened in the battle by the hands of the God of his father, Jacob. So listen, God will undergird you with strength to keep your bow in position if you'll just fight on. Fight on. This idea of, what do you think Paul did? Paul fought on and fought on and fought on and fought on and fought on. He even said, I think I mentioned it last week, at the end of his life, I fought a good fight. This is a good fight. There's bad kind of fights. I'm sure some of you men have been in some of those. I was in a couple myself. Not recently, thankfully. But this is a good fight. This is a good fight, okay? God will undergird you with strength. I made a reference. I love this. I think it was on a Wednesday night service earlier, prior to the revival meeting with Brother Ross, that God made a promise to the tribe of Asher. Now, don't miss this. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse number 25, they're fixing to go into the land of Canaan, right? All right? So Moses is getting them ready, and God is giving promises through Moses to the different tribes. And he speaks to the tribe of Asher, and this is what God says. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days. That was right before they were to go into the promised land. You know what God was telling them? God promised them that whatever challenges were thrown at them as they moved into the land of Canaan, and settled their land, whatever challenges were thrown at them, their strength would be up to the challenge. That's what he promised them. As your days, so shall your strength be. Whatever you encounter, whatever challenge comes your way, your strength is going to be sufficient to meet it. And folks, no matter the kind of challenge, they wouldn't just cope with it, they would overcome it. And God's people today can expect the same kind of help from the same God. You know, I like this for our young people because without being dark and pessimistic all the time, who knows what kind of challenges lie ahead. There's a lot of skittishness right now about the economy. I went by the conference room Friday morning. I was here to help tear down. And I saw Luke in there, conference room with a couple of adults. One of them I recognized, lady I recognized from People's Bank over here. And then the other guy is the new commercial lender, I think. And Nate, I forget. Yeah, I think but he came over. They came over. And, you know, they do that once in a while. I talked to Luke later. And he told me, he said, basically the meeting was twofold. The first half of the meeting was, our bank is okay. Our bank is okay. And we're all right. And they're a local bank. You know, they're not one of those big banks. But the second half of the meeting was, you really need to get your deposits insured. Okay. Because you're only insured up to so much money. You know that. That's been a big thing in the news lately, right? And thankfully, we've got between missions money, and we've got our money that's set aside. If someday we ever join these two buildings, we're adding to that. So our deposits exceed more than what's insured. Everything's okay, but. And they gave some recommendations. We're going to talk about it here, and we may have to talk to the men about it. But anyway, a lot of skittishness out there. As thy days. Young people, young men, young ladies. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Amen. Young couples, I remember back during COVID, young couple asking me, should we have any more children? And don't throw them under the bus, folks. Should we have any more children? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Whatever challenges are ahead in life for you, and some of you are facing some pretty sturdy challenges right now. But guess what? Whatever the days throw at you, in God's strong hands, you're going to have the strength to meet those challenges. You are. That wasn't just for Joseph and nobody else. That's for you as well. So we saw Joseph's present condition. He's fruitful. His past situation, he was shot at and shot at and shot at. All kinds of difficulty, all kinds of trouble. But he held his bow in strength. He refused to give in to the mentality of, I just got to get along with this. Oh, woe is me. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm in this prison. I'm in this slave for the rest of my life. No. He fought against that. Now, lastly, I want you to see Joseph's future affirmation, because in verse 25 and 26, Jacob starts talking about Joseph's future. His future. And I won't take the time to read them all over again, but if you noticed and paid any attention during the scripture reading, you noticed the word what? Blessings. Blessings. Blessings, blessings. He went on to affirm some things about Joseph's future. Wouldn't be just Joseph's to enjoy, would be his offspring's as well. And their future included blessing after blessing after blessing. Jacob even talked about he himself had enjoyed blessings that his ancestors had not enjoyed. You say, wait a minute, wait. Isaac was his dad. Was Isaac not blessed? Yeah. He was blessed. But do you remember when Jacob fooled his daddy and he got the blessing and not Esau? And Esau came and said, don't you have just one blessing? Don't you have some blessings to give me? And Isaac had to scramble around to find a blessing to give him. Isaac's dad's Abraham, father of the faithful. But Jacob said, in verse 26, the blessings, he's talking to Joseph, the blessings of thy father, that's Jacob, have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. That's a word for ancestors. Under the utmost, Jacob enjoyed blessings that his ancestors had not. By the way, he had his name changed to what? Israel. You know what that means? He who has prevailed. Amen. That's what it means. And old Jacob had some pretty rough times himself. A lot of them brought on by his own trouble, his own self. His own self. Jacob had been given 12 sons from whom all the nation of Israel descended. They were the chosen and favored people of God. And all of human history would center around those nations, the nation that came from those sons. So his blessings were immense. The blessings that rested on the head of Jacob would rest on Joseph. And on Joseph's offspring. And Jacob said those blessings are going to be like a crown on their heads. They would enjoy blessings that were bestowed upon them because Joseph was an overcomer. You know what Joseph did, people? He started a lineage of people who would be blessed by God because he was an overcomer. But it came at a cost. Look at verse 26. Look at the very last of it. And on the crown of the head of him, talking about Joseph, that was separate from his brethren. Joseph was not just one of the boys. He was separate for them. Oh, I say, yeah, I know he's separate. He was separated geographically. Yeah, he was separated geographically, but he was separated in other ways as well that ultimately brought him the blessings. Here's my point, folks. People who are overcomers are not a dime a dozen. They're not a dime a dozen. They're not like all the other boys and girls, all the other men and women. People who are overcomers are not like the majority. They're the minority. They maintain a good spirit and attitude when others don't. They have a relationship with God when others don't. They go the extra mile to serve and please God, even in the worst of circumstances. If they have to do it alone, that's how they do it. Alone from others, but together with God. There is a way to be an overcomer, a way to more than just cope with whatever life hands you, but there's got to be a Joseph-like approach to life. There's got to be some fight in us, fighting the right way, the good fight, by staying true to God and serving Him, even if it's as the head slave of all the slaves. Even if it's in the prison as the chief prisoner, keeping a good attitude and spirit that allows the Lord to be with us, holding our bow, our mentality, our attitude in strength, that I'm not going to succumb to these circumstances. I can overcome, not in my strength, but in His. And when we tire from holding our bow, the hands of Almighty God will strengthen our arms. Now, I'm not sure why this message brought to my heart this week. I have no idea, except for I know this. I was looking around at the convention, at the kiddos, not just from our church, but some of them that I know from other churches as well. It's pretty sad sometimes. The situations and difficulties that some of these teenagers find themselves in that are not of their own making. But you can be a Joseph. You can be a Joseph. You can have a good attitude, a good spirit. You can fight against the attitude of, you know, I'm never going to get out of this. I'll never make it to anything. I'll never become anything. No, no, no. You stay faithful to God. And you can be an overcomer. It breaks my heart sometimes. When I walk out of a service and a teenage young man is standing right back there and the tears are just flowing down his cheeks because of things handed to him that he had no part in. No part in. When a different teenage man, young man calls me on the phone one time and says, Pastor, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? That breaks my heart, folks. When Joseph got down in the land of Egypt, he didn't run around. Oh, woe is me. Look at what's happened. It wasn't even my fault. He fought against that. I'm not going to give into that. I'm going to be faithful to my God. And by the way, that's the only way you overcome what you find yourself in. So when you decide to give up on God, you're giving up on the one who makes you an overcomer. So don't give up on Him. Stay faithful. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. That's about the best I can do. Father, You know the heart, my heart. Not only young people here, but in other places. And not always young people, adults. Adults with married with children who, because of the choices of others, have recently been just thrown in a mess. But Lord, You made us overcomers in Christ. And we need to fight the mentality that I give up, I give in. I can't. We need to fight that through Christ. And when our arms get tired of holding our bow in place, You promised that Your hands would come and strengthen. So, Father, reach down to the heart that needs this. this morning. Encourage that young man, young lady. Encourage that young adult lady, that young adult man. Help us to have the spirit of a Joseph when it comes to the difficulties of life and be an overcomer and not give in to just coping, but overcoming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, I needed to hear something like this. Pray for me. That will help me this morning. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting this morning? Raise your hand. That's wonderful. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Anybody here today, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Anybody like that this morning? I know we have one baptism. If you came today to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now's the time to come. A hand in the air up there for salvation. If you're not sure that you're saved, listen, the most important decision you'll make in life is knowing that you're saved. You can't be an overcomer in this life apart from Christ. The thing to do would be to come this morning, make your way down the stairs, right here down to the front, let somebody take a Bible and show you how you could be saved. That'd be a great day for you. I invite you to come when the others come, when the music begins to play in just a moment. Father in heaven, I give the invitation to you. I pray, oh God, you'll draw the soul without Christ to the Lord this morning. I pray that you'd help those who need strength to overcome, to determine that that's what they'll be, an overcomer through Christ. I pray this in Christ's name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and the music begins this morning. Would you come? You know who you are. You know who you are. What's God allowed you to be handed? You can overcome. While we wait today, would you come to be saved? If you don't know for sure that you're saved, we could have somebody take a Bible. At least let them take a Bible and show you the verses on salvation. It would be wonderful if you'd come while we wait. There will be no overcoming in this life or the next apart from Jesus Christ. Not apart from Him. So you hold your bow, hold it in strength, and when your arms get tired, the hands of Almighty God will strengthen your arms. You can be an overcomer.